Can I say, at one point, I had a really big conflict with someone that went to our alma mater, and the meanest thing I could think that I immediately thought was like, I hope he has sex with his girlfriend, because that will destroy him emotionally way more than anything I could do.
Yeah. Yeah.
One, two, three, four, go!
Falling in love is such an easy thing to do. Birds can do it,
Yeah.
bees can do it.
Yeah.
Let's stop talking,
Yeah.
let's get to it. Let's fall in love.
Ever
I
again, I
also
just
just
hit the
hit the
record
record
button.
button.
I can re-say shit as if it's off the cuff.
How do you explain this
What do
away?
you say to your parents when you have to go record a podcast? What's your cover story?
Well, we are recording during working hours, so my parents are both at work right now.
Oh wow, that's
But
crazy. Usually I have
I
to.
usually tell them it's book club.
Oh, sorry, I forgot that was your
Yeah,
line.
thanks.
Yeah.
This we've actually changed formats. This is an entirely scripted podcast now.
I mean, I've been scripted the entire time, but
Everyone could tell.
if you ever look at my notes, it's just dialogue points. It's like when Aaron mentions this, say this exact phrase in this
Yeah.
intonation. I have stage directions. Therefore, I can't be held accountable for any of my words on this podcast.
How would you feel if your parents listened to this podcast?
I would perish. I think they might perish first. So actually, I probably wouldn't even know that they'd listen to it because I think they'd both be like dead and rolling in their graves. But yeah, it's a little harder to hide the secret since I accidentally ordered a new microphone to their address instead of mine. But you know, that's a bridge we'll cross when I go home and see them
Yeah.
tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to spend like hours in my room locked away with like a synth or something so that they can hear music pounding away.
Yeah. Listen. I think my mom might know. 'Cause she be on the internet a lot, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And also my sister knows. And like it's been mentioned in front of her before, and I've always been like, can you shut the fuck up, please? Thank you.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would enjoy it at all. I think she would
Yeah.
absolutely hate it. I think she would not let me see Jesse anymore as a friend. I think my dad would actually enjoy this podcast,
Okay.
but I think he would only enjoy it if he knew it wasn't me who was the host, because he doesn't want to hear my personal shit, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. A father doesn't want to know. We learned that from Secret Life of the American
Yeah.
Teenager. Actually, this is a really good transition for 69th episode, bitches.
I forgot I was gonna make a big
This will be the most mutually satisfying episode we've ever had.
Oh my God. This episode made me want to claw my eyes and my hair out and cease to exist.
Yeah, same. That's what it was such a bummer when I saw that this was 69. I got so sad because I was so looking
Also,
forward to it.
we're at like 69K streams on Anchor.
Oh my god.
So
That actually is unwell, but
this is a blessed time in our lives.
yeah, I actually haven't logged into Anchor for a while because I've been trying not to let the metrics control me.
I log into Anchor every week when I post the podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
What's that like?
Remember when Anchor stopped distributing to Apple Podcasts for us? So then I went through all the channels to distribute to Apple Podcasts on our own. And then Anchor was like, what if we started distributing it again? So now there's two Secret Life of the American Teenage podcasts on iTunes and Apple Podcasts.
The sad part is that does fuck with our metrics.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it's super fun. I'm so glad that happened. They were trying to control us and censor the media.
That is so true. I think about that all the time, the way that I'm just being kind of gagged in a way that's not fun. George Soros owns my ass. And he whips me anytime I step out of line.
Jesus Christ. Jesse. Jesse, you didn't even say, we had this whole conversation and then we did it again on the podcast and you didn't even say the best part. Which was that.
I forgot what that was.
Anybody whose parents, who talks about their parents listening to their podcast deserves to be institutionalized.
Yes, that's unwell behavior. I'm sorry. You should not be that. Who's doing that? Rory Gilmore?
True. Also, I do just want to say, shout out Sam Jordan.
Birthday.
Hmm?
What
did you say?
No, I said birthday.
Is it a birthday?
Fuck, I don't know.
I'm gonna keep this in the episode. I was just gonna
wait.
Say,
what were you gonna say? I think we were on two very separate pages.
I think when we recorded our episode, we talked about, but then like the beginning of Sam's audio got like fucked up, so whatever. But we talked about how we like soft blocked people in our families from being able to see, or not soft blocked, but like full on blocked people in our family so they couldn't see our podcast shit.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I was going to say. It's not interesting.
Oh, it's also, we're fully recording on Jordan's birthday, but like, oh. I thought that's what we were going to say, but I guess.
Sorry.
I guess that doesn't matter.
Happy birthday, Jordan.
This is really just like indicative of what this show is. Wow.
Oh my god.
We are on two separate podcasts at all times.
Who, you and me?
And I think that's beautiful. Yeah.
I'm actually recording another podcast at the same time.
God, I wish. I'm trying to expand my sphere. If you're listening to this and you have a podcast, invite me on.
I'm actually on a podcast with Andy Cohen next week, so which is pretty exciting.
Oh my god, I'm shirtless bartending that one.
Oh, nice.
Is that Andy Cohen?
I don't know. I've never...
Who's Watch What Happens Live?
I've only ever interacted with Andy Cohen for the Real Housewives reunions.
Oh, yeah. Do we think Andy Cohen 69s well? That's the theme of this episode, by the way, is... mutual oral.
You think that's what Jack and Adrian did?
I think so, and I think that's what Grace thinks normal sex is.
Did you oral sex or sex sex?
Sometimes you can do both.
Oral sex is just when one person does it, but sex sex is when both people do it at the same time.
That's so true. I did read a book once that was like, stop jacking off, Christian teens. And one of the things they said was that oral sex is inherently sinful because only one person gets anything out of it. And sex is supposed to be about everyone getting something out of it every time. Which basically means, you know, in that cis-hetero relationship, the woman's never gonna come.
Yeah.
Speaking of nothing nice to say, let's go to the Shailene and Aaron corner.
Ooh, is there more?
Because I got some dish.
Okay, exciting.
This is a scoop by one of my favorite writers / podcasters, Olivia Craighead, posted 3 hours ago on Gawker.
Okay.
Shailene Woodley still patting Aaron Rodgers' butt. So Aaron and Shailene were spotted canoodling at the wedding of one David Bakhtiari, one of Rodgers' teammates. And during the cocktail hour, she lovingly patted his behind as she was seated and he was standing next to her and placed his hand around the back of her neck.
When was this?
How do we feel? This weekend?
I just spelled Gawker wrong. Get married or get off the pot, you two.
That's so true.
I love this.
Yeah, so just, you know, thought we'd shine a little light in that dark corner of the universe. 69, Shailene and Aaron. Yes, no.
yes, when they were having a foursome, but with other partners. Why has this become the podcast?
Because it's the 69th episode.
Did you forget?
I did not. Last week when I was like...
Are you sure? It seems like you forgot.
No, I didn't. Well, I mean, I kind of forgot a little bit, but last week when I was like, you know, editing, like breaking my back and editing the podcast and, you know, posting it, some would say.
Episode, in case you forgot.
I'm so glad I'm wearing headphones. Because my dad does work from home, so.
You made such a big deal that they were both at work. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, working from home is, like, a little bit generous.
Working from home is not real work. You gotta get back out there, Jack.
My dad told me sometimes he just puts that he has meetings on his Outlook calendar just so it looks like he's busy, and then he goes outside and does a Sudoku and smokes a cigar.
Yeah. I cannot tell you how many times I've spent one of my roommate's work days playing video games with him. While he has black screen 10-hour on loop YouTube so that his screen appears busy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. He works really hard, so it's not like... But, like, every once in a while, you know.
Abolish a 40-hour work week. And that's what 69ing is about.
You heard it here first, bitches. Abolish this 69-hour work week.
When I said abolish the 40-hour work week, I did mean in favor of the 100-hour work week. I don't think you should be allowed to have... I almost said I don't think you should be alive. But I don't think you should be allowed to...
That's true as well.
I don't think you should be allowed to have a life outside of work.
That's a brave stance, and I'm glad someone's finally taking it.
I will put myself on this crucifix. How is your Lent going, Jesse?
A crucifix is a figure of Christ on a cross, and a cross is just a cross. So you're putting yourself directly on top of Christ in that scenario.
69.
Oh my God. Shame.
Sorry, it's unhinged.
So that's the real reason Paul wanted to be crucified upside down. Was that Paul? Who was that?
I don't know.
There was some apostle or something that was like, crucify me upside down because I do not deserve to die in the same manner as Christ.
Was he a little gay?
I think all of them were. 12 men rolling around in a polycule like that?
Oh my God. This episode's going to be unhinged. I don't want to get into it at all. How has your Lent been?
St. Peter was crucified upside down.
Good for him. They wrote a song about him called Viva la Vida.
Viva la Vida? Yeah.
My choir sang that in the sixth grade.
My choir sang that senior year.
Ha. Okay, listen. Also, it is important to know that I was in sixth grade when Jesse was a senior in high school.
Yeah, we have a very predatory relationship.
Okay, listen. How has your Lent been?
Well, if you lent me an ear, I could talk about it, you know? Yeah. I'm not Catholic.
Neither am I.
Cool, so that's settled.
Anyway. I am doing a Lenten practice, though, called... I'm memorizing a Mary Oliver poem. A line a day.
That which part of the Bible is that in?
The gay part.
Okay.
Okay.
So Simon versus the Homo sapien agenda.
It's Second Simon, but yeah. Okay. I don't think
that... Second Simon versus the Homo sapien agenda.
I don't think there is a Second Simon.
I don't know that there's a Simon.
I don't think there is.
there's a Peter who's Simon Peter. Also, can I tell you something? I think Linus is a capitalist.
Yeah, we've known this. It's not groundbreaking.
But, like, I have confirmation in that he keeps on going to my copy of Das Kapital and chewing on the sides.
You know what? Fern's been doing that for my copy of The Lightning Thief. So I do think she's homophobic.
That is problematic.
Yeah.
Is The Lightning Thief, does Percy Jackson ever get gay?
I mean, like, Percy Jackson.
Meaning, do he and Grover explore their bodies at all?
No, but there are, like, queer characters. Once you get into the second installment of the Greek Gods series, if you will.
That's too long.
It's not, though. Maybe if you showed a little bit of commitment.
What?
I said, maybe if you showed a little bit of commitment.
To what?
I don't know. Anything in your life, Jesse.
Oh my god. You heard it here first, folks! Jesse's afraid of commitment! You know the one commitment he's not afraid of? Committing to the bit.
It would have been funnier if there was less time between the first announcement and the second announcement, but I appreciate
that. And you have the power to edit that, so it's true.
I'm not going to.
I'm just fumbling with my YouTube video of hype horn sound that contains 20 seconds of silence after the hype horn. Just move on. Just move on.
Okay, do you want to get into the episode?
We need to. Okay. I need to get out of here as soon as possible.
Oh, sorry.
Just because this episode gave me brain damage.
Oh, okay. You don't actually have, like, a hard stop, though.
In a way, I always have a hard stop.
Okay, so welcome to Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
My name's Jesse.
And today we are recording our 69th episode. It's actually not our 69th episode, technically, because we did the Shiva Baby episode. But it's the 69th episode of Secret Life of the American Teenager. And you know what? They really missed
but it's actually
the mark
our...
here and didn't make the entire episode about 69ing.
They could have done it so easily. It would have been less out of place than half of their episodes.
Yeah. Instead, they created an episode that spiked my anxiety.
I got angry. Like, I was ready to ride at dawn for these characters I don't even care about.
Before we begin, one call to Joe Hampton would have completely removed any conflict in this episode.
That's so true. This is actually, this episode, I think, should have been titled An Ode to Centrism. Because the whole thing is how both sides are equally wrong, actually, and we should stay the middle. And that's morally correct. Mm-hmm. And there's something beautiful about
that. Yeah, is there? So, this episode was directed by Anson Williams. It was written by Jeffrey Rogers. Jail.
Written's a very generous word for this.
This is actually behind the scenes footage. They just all hate each other this much.
That would be so funny.
It aired to 2.32 million viewers. And the date that it aired was May 16th, 2011.
Fuck May.
Huh?
May. Oh, good. I thought I typed in March for a second, but we're good.
Yeah, well, you would have been fucking stupid and embarrassing.
That's so true.
Just kidding.
Do you have some biblical context?
I do. Do you want to go first?
You can.
Okay, mine is from the art section of the New York Times. Hold on for one more day. Judd Apatow talks about the aftermath of Bridesmaids. Kristen Wiig's comedy Bridesmaids sold 26.2 million in tickets over the weekend, more than was estimated at the end of the weekend. But for Mr. Apatow, a producer of the film, the gender debate it initiated isn't over yet.
What gender debate was initiated by bridesmaids?
I'll tell you. If people don't see this movie, they'll never allow women to make or star in another comedy again.
That's so true.
I always say women aren't funny, though, so.
Well, and you're correct.
Yeah.
That's why we don't have women on this show, generally. Yeah.
Shout out Megan Kaczmarczyk.
Yeah, the only good one.
The one who comes back every season.
Yeah.
I'm seeing her tomorrow.
Wow, me too.
Oh, exciting.
Yeah, she didn't tell me that you were going to...
That's kind of awkward.
Interesting. And that's actually very topical, considering apparently like a whole generation of youngsters don't know that Judd Apatow is famous, which I think is really inspiring.
Wait, people don't know Judd Apatow is famous?
Did you not see the infamous... Twitter/TikTok post?
No.
It was like probably a teen being like, I just found out Maude Apatow is a nepotism baby. Her mom is
Leslie Mann,
and her dad is a director. So they know who Leslie Mann is, but we're not familiar with Judd Apatow. And then when people were like, holy shit, they doubled down and they're like, why would I know a director of some cult classic comedies or whatever? As if Judd Apatow wasn't the selling point of, like, 90% of the comedies made in the 2000s/2010s. I've never felt older.
Yeah.
And I don't judge them, because I know we have a semi-young listenership.
I do.
Among us.
I do.
I think it might be okay to not know who Judd Apatow is. I know you love him.
No, I think it's okay, too.
I think it's very funny to know who Maude Apatow is. And
that's what I'm like, that's what's blowing my mind.
I think it's specifically because of Euphoria.
Yeah. Well, I think that's like one of her only credits as opposed to like, you know, he did put her...
Judd Apatow movies.
Yeah, in his own movies.
It was almost entirely Judd Apatow movies and commercials with her mother.
Yeah, for like Aveeno skin lotion or whatever.
Yeah.
Which this episode is actually sponsored... by 69.
Can I say, so true.
Yeah.
Best line read I've ever seen is Maude Apatow in one of those commercials where she's like, please tell me it's a new skincare routine and not some kind of nude beach situation. I think that's beautiful.
Okay, Ashley.
Look, don't cancel me, but I think Maude Apatow kind of acts... I think she went to the India Isley School of Acting. But the difference is it kind of works.
Does it? Oh my god, someone from Germany is calling me right now. Should I pick up?
We're in the middle of a podcast, Aaron.
I
have a hard out at 2 p.m.
You're such a fucking liar. That's in 2 minutes. Okay, do your biblical context.
Yeah, mine's more culturally important. It's from Broadway.com.
Okay. Oh, is it about Spider-Man Turno?
No, I was going to go that route, but that seemed too obvious. Okay. So I went with Lea Michele and Chris Colfer to visit the Wicked stage in Glee season finale.
Oh, wow.
Spoilers.
Something has changed within me.
Something is not the same. That's not the song they sing at the
Wicked Theater.
No, it's not.
It's
theater,
for
though.
Good.
Yep.
Oh.
Do you think that Do you think Kurt should have gotten the Defying Gravity solo?
Absolutely not. Listen.
They made such a big deal out of that. He was not good at that solo.
No,
I'm sorry.
So... should we start?
Yeah, I haven't thought. We can only put it off for so much. Okay. Let's speed run this episode.
Okay. This episode is so much conflict. It was actually pretty hard to watch. So we start at the high school.
Grace and Amy are discussing the baby shower. Grace shows Amy these double-sided invitations, and one side says baby shower, and the other side says bridal shower, and it's for Adrian, and Kathleen made
them. Notice that they were double-sided, and that's why they were clever.
Yeah.
Because Amy says these are so clever, and I'm like, why? It's a piece of paper with a ribbon through the top. Yeah.
And so Grace is like, who do we give these to? Because you were supposed to come up with the list for who to invite. And Amy is like, no, like, I can send the invitations, but, like, Adrian has to come up with the list. Because, like, I don't know who her friends are.
Yeah. Does this seem like a good move to you as you're watching this right now? Do you think it's Amy's responsibility to curate a guest list like this? Not knowing what you know now, I just want to know, like, as you're watching this, did this seem like an unreasonable thing to you?
No, not at all.
Same. Because, like, if I'm planning the baby shower, I don't want it to be filled with, like, the neighbors and the guidance counselor's mother and, like, losers, you know?
Someone who's going to hit my car.
Yeah, it's pretty reasonable, right, that the person that the shower's for should decide the guest list?
Yeah, I mean, just thinking, like, in terms of, like, bridal showers I've been to, like, I have had two sisters get married. They have come up with the lists and, like, people throwing the showers for them. You know, my sister literally just had a baby shower in November, and she invited who, like, my mom hosted it and, like, threw it for her. But my mom didn't just, like, fucking invite people that my sister didn't want there.
Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to see if we were on the same page, because hearing this, I'm like, oh, this makes sense.
I truly would not be able to record this episode with you if we were on different sides of this argument, because it would cause me too much anxiety.
For sure. Because, we'll get more into it, but, like, the way this starts, I just wanted to know from, like, the perspective of someone who's probably been around more showers than I.
Right, yeah, I take one every day, and I know that, like, you are kind of against washing your
ass. Yeah, I'm kind
of
averse to showering. Yeah. I kind of do, like, one a month to get the accumulated musk and grime. Musk and grimes, some would say.
So, okay.
But, okay. So, yeah, just wanted to double check before we got into it.
I appreciate you doing that.
Because that would have been uncomfortable to find out later.
So, Grace is like, why don't you invite Ashley? And Amy's like, I mean, I'll invite her, but she's a huge bitch. Like, she probably won't come. She didn't even want to come to my shower. And then Grace is like, why don't you invite Madison and Lauren? And Amy's like, well, Madison and Lauren are, like, my friends. Like, I don't know if Adrian considers them her friends.
Again, very reasonable.
Yeah.
Whatever.
So then they Alice is walking through the hallway. They catch Alice and they're like, Alice, like, here's an invitation. And Alice is like, oh, that's so great. I will send a gift, but I will not be able to go because it is my cousin's bar mitzvah.
Sure. And, like, good on the show for not being like, that's impossible.
I mean, it is played up as, like, kind of a joke, because Alice walks away and they're like, and Amy is like, maybe her dad is Jewish.
Yeah.
I know her mom.
She's like, well, her mom said she's Buddhist. And she said that at that mother-daughter dance. Yeah.
Which is just a reminder that the mother-daughter dance initiated this all, and it is inherently Wilhelmina Bink's fault for Adrian getting pregnant, because she threw that stupid fucking dance.
And can I tell you, the fact that Grace brings that up when she's like, oh, that was the same night that Adrian and Ben fucked and she got pregnant, right? And then Amy's like, yep. Grace, come on.
And then okay, so Amy says something about how families can be mixed races, religions, etc.
That is so inspiring to hear.
Yeah. And then
the only thing they can't be is mixed genders.
Right.
I'm very anti-hetero rights.
You heard it here, folks.
only same sex having the same sex nightly because the spark has gone out of it for them.
So Adrian comes up and they're like, who are your friends? And Adrian's like, I don't have any friends. I actually want to invite everyone who has ever been mean to me. I want to invite my enemies.
That's funny.
That is the messiest thing I've ever heard.
Like, at this point, it is so funny before it takes, like, a decidedly sinister turn.
Yeah, so it's like, Zoe's walking through the hallway. And Adrian is like, Zoe, come here. And she's like, you're invited to my shower. And Zoe's like, why are you inviting me? I literally slept with your boyfriend. And
who's now your boyfriend, Avi's current
boyfriend. And didn't you used to date him, Grace?
So funny. I think Zoe might be a girl boss, yeah. I hate to say.
So then Zoe just starts shouting names in the hallway to be like, Avengers Assemble, I guess. Did I use that correctly? And I've never seen a Marvel movie.
Probably. I don't know. Okay. But she individually calls out every person's Christian name.
Cheryl. Candace.
And each time it cuts to a random white girl who like turns and looks.
Yeah. And they all like come and they pick up an invitation and they're like, sorry, can't make it. And they like throw it back at Adrian.
Yeah. And then Zoe finally thrusts the dagger just a little bit deeper, puts it on back on Adrian and says, I don't have an excuse. I just really don't want to go. And then walks away.
Well, she says, I don't want to get you a gift.
Oh, yeah. Kind of. I hate to say it. Zoe may be an icon.
So then Amy is like, that was a little bit hurtful to me because by you doing that, you just showed me how many girls Ricky has slept with. And Adrian's like, oh my God, literally not everything's about you. Like, look how good my life is. Like, I just want to share that with everyone and like show them because they've always been mean to me. So I want to show them how I'm winning now. And Amy is like, you know what? Like, I'm out. She hands her invitation to Grace and she's like, I'm going to step away from this.
I think that's okay. I think that's a good reaction.
Yeah. And Grace,
because she doesn't try to escalate. She's just like, I'm really hurt by what you did. And like, if you can't see that, I'm just removing myself from this situation.
Yeah. And then Grace is like, Adrian, like, you should go catch up with Amy and apologize. And Adrian's like, no. And then Grace is like, Amy was literally, like, you've been such a bitch to Amy and she was still willing to be your friend and throw you a baby shower. Did you do all of this? And like, did you have Amy throw you a baby shower just so that way you could show her that you won?
And Adrian's like, and what if I did?
Yeah, she's like, yes, heart.
Yeah, which is so shitty.
Yeah. So, we go to the theme. Also, I don't think we mentioned what episode we're doing. I think we just said the 69th episode. This is season 3, episode 22, Loose Lips. Which would, in your mind, make you think that episode for season 3, episode 23, would be Sink Ships, right?
Yeah, and episode 24 would be All the Damn Time.
The next episode is called Round 3.
I think it's round 2.
Oh, is it? Sorry, I can't read. I'm just learning.
Because I also read it wrong the first time, and then I went back, and I think it's just round 2.
Okay, well, that's kind of embarrassing for me. It is round 2.
Which also implies that we're going to be going on this storyline for even longer.
Mm-hmm. And I don't have therapy this week, so. At least this time
it was a surprise. Yeah.
So, okay, what is your alternative theme?
Blow by Beyonce.
That's so funny because mine's Blow by Kesha.
Oh, wow.
I'm just kidding.
Why is yours Blow?
It's not. Oh, okay. I was lying.
Mine's Blow because of the lyric, when you lick my Skittles, it's the sweetest in the middle. And I think that really suits the 69 theme of Secret Life of the American Teenager.
Mine is Everybody Talks by Neon Trees.
That's, yeah, I like it. That actually feels very of this time. Even though it came out like 6 years after this.
I do not think so.
When do you think that song came out?
2013.
Okay, yeah, so 2 years after this, just like I said. No.
Oh my god, it was released on December 20th, 2011, so the same year.
I don't think that's true.
Would Wikipedia lie to us?
Yeah, and it's about to when I edit this page. Okay, the radio release wasn't until April 17th of 2012.
Wow. Glenn later revealed via Twitter during National Coming Out Day in 2020 that he had written the song while closeted about an ex-girlfriend who had spread rumors that he was gay.
That's hot.
That's so sad.
Oh, yeah, that's really sad.
We love gay people, though. Don't go back and listen to when I said I hate all gay people. So we go back to the school from the theme. Amy is, like, redoing her makeup because she's, like, cried a little bit. And Madison and Lauren show up and are like, we heard what happened. And Madison's like, you can't let her get to you. Thanks, Madison.
That's sure. Madison and Lauren are the queens of being bad support systems.
Yeah, and Lauren is like, honestly, it's like kind of dumb that you were going to throw her a shower in the first place. And Amy's like, well, she threw me one. And Madison's like, yeah, but then she fucked her stepbrother during it. So
that was, I'm glad we finally came back to that. That we're finally going to reference that she was in her bed getting dicked down by her stepbrother the entire baby shower.
I miss Max.
Yeah, I hope he's doing well in reform school. How do you think he feels about Ruben and Cindy's marriage?
I don't know.
As a spy sent by Ruben, or sent by his mother to make sure Ruben wasn't fucking Cindy,
that's true.
How do you think he feels now that they're married?
Like a failure.
As he should.
So, Madison does say that Max and Adrian are not related because, you know, that's important to disclose when we're talking about semi-incestuous relationships.
I think you're confused. That would be in Cars if Mac the truck got into a relationship with his brother. That would be a semi-incestuous relationship.
That was really good. That was a great poem.
Thank you. I'm on one with my wordplay today.
So then, like, Lauren says something about how, like, Adrian did this to herself because she doesn't have any friends. But then they're like, also, Amy, you did this to yourself. Like, you should have just come up with a list of, like, who to invite. Like, you're too nice. Like, that's why you had sex with Ricky and got pregnant, is because you're too nice.
That sucks to hear.
Yeah, and Amy is like, so it's my, like, everything is my fault? And she, like, walks away. And then Madison and Lauren fight, and they're like, maybe you were too hard on you. Wait, what? Maybe you were too hard on her. And then they're talking about how Adrian's not nice to anyone. No wonder she doesn't have any friends. And Lauren's like, I would say something to her if she wasn't having a baby. And Adrian is like behind her, and she's like, oh yeah, what were you going to say? Like, it's a natural process. It's not like I'm dying. So go ahead, say what you were going to say. And Lauren's like, what I was going to say is that you didn't invite us to your shower and our feelings are hurt.
But she says it in the least convincing voice ever, like she's asking a question.
Yeah, and Adrian is like, you are a liar, you both suck, Amy sucks, I hate Amy, but I don't expect you or anyone else to take my side in this
because you're wrong.
And then Adrian walks away and Madison tells Lauren that she's a bad liar. And Lauren's like, oh, so you're taking Adrian's side? And then they're like, was Amy wrong? It's like, no.
Well, Lauren says, I'm on Amy's side even when she's wrong.
Why did nobody...
And she's not wrong right now.
Also, like, for a bridal shower and a baby shower, you invite so many of your mom's friends.
Well, that's what... This whole problem would have been solved if they just, like, didn't do a no parents theme or whatever the hell.
Did they do that?
They talked about how it was only going to be kids because Adrian's mom couldn't be there.
Oh, that's fucking stupid as hell.
It is.
So,
this episode is stupid as hell.
Yeah. So then we go to Adrian and Ben in the hallway, and Adrian is like, I just had to wash my face because Amy made me cry. But I bet you wouldn't take my side in it because, like, it's Amy and she's like Mrs. Perfect.
And Ben's like, Ben's like, I have no interest in finding out what happened or hearing anyone else's perspective. I am unabashedly on your side and I'll talk to that bitch.
Yeah. And she's like, she embarrassed me by pointing out that I have no friends. I only have like, you.
So, like, that's not what happened, Adrian. Like, actually, no, Adrian, that's not what happened. That's not the truth.
Yeah.
She asked you who you wanted to invite to your bridal shower / baby shower.
You gave me shit last year because I didn't invite you to my bridal shower. And so this year I
actually,
said...
that's not the
truth. So this year I sent you an invitation and you didn't come.
That's truly exactly what happened. Like, this is Dakota Johnson versus Ellen.
Yeah. So Ben is like, if you don't mind, I'm going to have a word with her. And Adrian is trying to turn this into a, like, straight on war. And she's like, I don't mind, but Ricky will. Ben doesn't care.
So insufferable. This whole episode is so insufferable. Yeah.
So Ricky and Amy are talking too. And Amy's like, Adrian's still in love with you. And Ricky's like, okay, this is the funniest shit I've ever heard. Ricky tells Amy that he cares about her. And she goes, you said you loved me. And he goes, yeah, not at school. That's personal.
So funny. Oh my God.
And Amy is like, when I was pregnant, I cared about other people than myself.
True. She did.
And then they start talking about all these girls that Ricky slept with and how that was really hurtful for Amy to see. And he's like, I've slept with no one since you asked me to. And I suggest we drop this before we don't want to sleep with each other. So then Ricky, like, walks away and he passes Ben.
Ricky does not do well in a crisis, I'm sorry to say.
I mean, he has, like, capital T trauma, so.
Yeah.
It, like, I don't think his parents were out here, like, modeling healthy.
He straight up says that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so Ricky walks away and him and Ben like pass like ships in the night in the hallway, but then they turn around and they see each other and they start arguing about who can talk to who, because Ben's like, I'm gonna go fucking talk to Amy. And Ricky's like, why don't you stay out of it? Let's not get involved. And Ben's like, you stay away from Adrian. And he's like, I literally wasn't gonna fucking talk. Why the fuck would I talk to Adrian? And Ben
yeah,
is embarrassed.
He's like, I literally just said I'm taking... Like, I'm staying out of it. I suggested you stay out of it. I never mentioned talking to Adrian. I have no desire to talk to Adrian.
Duh. So then Adrian and Ben hug. Okay, we're after school. We're at the butcher shop. Ben is explaining how Amy embarrassed Adrian by asking for a list of friends. And Ricky's like, why are you bringing Bunny into this? And Ben's like, excuse me? This is... after work hours, and Bunny is a friend to my family. And Bunny is like straight up like, you gotta keep this shit out of the workplace, okay?
Yeah. You know what she doesn't believe in keeping out of the workplace is stray hairs, because that hairnet is doing nothing.
It's a little extra surprise.
It's just like, why wear a hairnet if you're gonna let half of your perm stick out of it, you know?
Ricky explains that Adrian wanted to invite her enemies and show Amy how many girls he slept with, and he's like, this is a chick fight, let's stay out of it. And Ben's like, well, I'm in it. And Bunny's like, okay.
Yeah, Ben's also like, of course, that's what Amy told you happened. Which is like, that's straight up what happened, but whatever. Let's not get into that.
And Bunny's like, let's shake hands and like, let's, you know, move on. And,
yeah.
And Ben's
Bunny
like,
knows you never go to bed angry.
Right. Like Mitt Romney.
Yeah.
And.
Mm.
Yeah.
That was a disgusted. Mm.
Oh, okay. I was like,
or was it?
So Ben refuses to shake hands with Ricky because who knows where his hands have been. Actually, they've been with a lot of girls.
Oh, yeah. Who knows what they've been in? Actually, yeah, it was It was like a surprisingly more blue joke than I was expecting them to go with.
Yeah.
Because he isn't, you know, implying that Ricky fingered at least.
Oh, okay. I didn't know what it meant, so I'm glad you're explaining it to me.
Yeah, because he says something about, like, who knows what your hands have been in. He's like, well, actually, all those girls, or something like that.
And so, what is he implying?
That Ben's hands are constantly coated in coochie juice.
And it, from what?
The vagine. Of various women of questionable morals, including at least one who's 10 years his senior.
It's true. So, Bunny is like to Ricky, she's like, you need to fix this. And Ricky's like, can I literally just come here and do my job, please? Remember when Ben was fired? That was so nice.
That was really nice. Also, I feel like this would be grounds to fire Ben again, because the whole reason he got fired was because he couldn't keep his personal shit out the workplace.
And he, like, tried to, like, tickle Ricky or whatever.
Yeah.
So, Bunny goes...
Can I also say, I know you just said that you've never seen a Marvel movie. This episode is the exact plot of Captain America Civil War. Like, if you want to know how stupid that movie is, no offense to any Marvel stands out there, but it literally is the same. Like, there's a minor miscommunication, and then everyone gets pissed at each other.
Are we going to get canceled? Because you just said
how that. Many people... I feel like that's a well-known fact about Captain America Civil War's story, is that it doesn't make much sense why they couldn't just have a conversation.
That's what I think about all things.
That's why I can't watch rom-coms / Hallmark movies at Christmas time, because the whole climax is always, oh no, I saw him with a woman, I need to leave town and take my high-powered exec job. And then it's like, that was my cousin, dumbass.
Those women. So emotional.
They're just so emotional. Yeah.
So, Bunny goes over to Ben. And Ben's like, let me guess, you're taking Ricky's side. And she's like, no, I'm going to do the same thing he's saying, which I'm going to suggest you don't take a side. And Ben's like, so you are taking his side. Ben has a real, like, persecution complex throughout this.
Like, Ben is so excited because he finally feels like he might be being oppressed.
Well, like, later he, like, talks about a conspiracy against him, and he has so much paranoia that I'm like, is Ben experiencing a psychotic break? Like, is this the prodromal stage of psychosis?
How dare you use words that I don't know? No. Ben and Adrian are in their Joker area. Era, fuck.
They're in their Joker area.
They're in their Joker era. In this case, Adrian is the Joker and Ben is Harley.
So, okay. They talk about, so Ben is like, somehow Adrian got labeled a bad girl, and Ricky is like, she literally, like, gets back at people.
Well, that's the thing. I think what bothers me most is, like, Adrian and Ben's refusal to acknowledge that even if Adrian didn't mean anything by it, she did harm.
Right.
While also deciding that anything Amy did was intentional and bad.
Yeah.
And I hate that. Like, I don't know. I'm a person who always gives someone the benefit of the doubt. I'll never, like, accuse someone of being, like, awful until I've, like, talked to them about it.
Hmm.
What?
How come I woke up to 6 texts from you this morning saying how awful I was?
Because you were being a bitch. Because you really hurt my feelings when you said...
That you had
that Twilight was a good movie.
That you had a boyfriend that looked like a girlfriend.
Yeah. Well, somebody told me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Ben is like, at this point, I know Adrian better than you, so I know what Adrian's motivation was. And Ricky's like, no, you don't. And Ben's like, I think you're still in love with Adrian. You told her you were in love with her. And Ben's like, or Ricky's like, yeah, that's how I sleep with people, is I tell everyone that.
Which I don't think that's true, because he did not tell Adrian he loved her until, like, halfway through their relationship.
Yeah. Let's call Carly up on the phone. Right before they broke up.
Yeah.
Is that what?
Let's call Zoe up on the phone. Yeah. Let's call...
Let's call Cheryl up.
Joyce up on the phone. Yeah. Let's call Patrice. Let's call Lauren.
Hey, and Ben, let's call fucking Maria.
Yeah!
Benito, you called. No,
I do love to... Rick. Benito, you called me! You're getting married! What the fuck, Benito? I do also love Ricky brings up the point of, like, I wasn't there. You weren't there. We don't know what either of their motivations were, but, like, it doesn't pay to assume the worst.
Yeah.
Whatever. Ricky being good in this episode. It will never make sense to me how Ben got labeled, like, the good guy by the fandom.
Yeah. So... We go to Kathleen and Grace, and Kathleen is like, there is going to be a shower. Like, I've worked really hard on this. I've sunk a lot of money into it. And Grace is like, there's literally no one to invite. And it's like, Grace, call Joe Hampton. Tell him you'll let him see a single titty, and he will invite 500 people to this thing.
It doesn't even have to be a real titty. Google that shit.
Yeah. Go to Joe.
Send him a picture of your arm. Pressed together so it looks like an ass.
Yeah.
He'll go wild.
Grace makes the important distinction that all majorettes are sluts.
That's, yeah, we've been known.
And then she's like, it seems like Adrian wants a shower for all the wrong reasons. And Kathleen's like, stop being judgmental. Maybe she just wants a shower.
Which, that can be true, and it can also be true that she wants the shower for the wrong reasons. Right. Like, she literally admitted to Grace that a big part of her doing this was to rub it in Amy's face, that she had everything that Amy wanted.
Yeah.
And I feel like Kathleen isn't being... She's being weirdly, like, out of characterly, like, completely unsympathetic to Amy.
Yeah.
Or, like, the truth of the matter.
Yeah. And... Grace is like, listen, I don't want to spend any more effort on Adrian or the shower. And Kathleen's like, maybe if you didn't fuck your boyfriend so much, you'd have more energy to devote to this.
Beautiful. That's something we don't talk about enough, which is how tiring fucking all the time is.
Right.
And a little bit of your brain matter does ooze out every time you fuck before marriage, so...
Right.
Think about that one.
Yeah, because we're kind of like puzzle pieces... You know?
How so?
So...
Expound upon that.
I'm not going to. So then we have Amy talking to Anne on the phone. This is the point in which the episode I discovered that Amy's sweater has turtles on it.
Little turtles! Yes, and I noticed that immediately.
Absolutely delighted.
Yeah, I've been playing a lot of Elden Ring, so I know a turtle when I see it. And by a turtle, I do mean a dog. And that's a joke for Elden Ring players. Yeah, Amy's sweater has dogs on it. That's going to kill the four people who play Elden Ring and listen to this podcast.
I have to plug my computer in.
I thought you were packing up your bag to leave because you were pissed.
I was. I'm also doing that.
We got to hurry up. I got to be out of here by 2:35.
You're so annoying. I'm going as fast as I can. Okay. So, Anne is like, go apologize to Adrian and work it out. So, what if she did something? She's under a lot of stress.
That's not an excuse, though, to treat everyone around you like shit all the time. Like, it is, but it's not, like...
Yeah.
Like, Adrian does need to apologize when she causes harm, and I don't think she's ever really figured that out. Even if she is, like, justified in her own head, or, like, even if she is stressed and under a lot of pressure, like...
Yeah. So, Kathleen calls the house phone and interrupts Amy talking to Anne. She wants to talk to George. So Anne hangs up with Amy and is like, figure it out, whatever, I love you. I don't give a shit about this at all.
And then ugly as shit guy from the deli walks in.
From the grocery store, the domestic terrorist. Sure.
Yeah.
I forget what his name is.
I forget too, because I assumed we'd never see him again, so I didn't bother to. But of all the men that Anne could be cavorting with, I can't believe this is the one she actually is with.
Isn't it like Pimento's dad?
Yeah. Well, first of all, Pimento's Amy, but yeah.
Isn't Pimento the Jason?
That's what the guy calls Amy.
No, but isn't that like Jason Mendoza's character on Brooklyn Nine-Nine? Have we talked about this?
I've never seen Brooklyn Nine-Nine because I don't really support propaganda like that.
Yeah, me neither. Okay, so every week when I talk about one episode of Castle I just watched, yeah. I am about to finish
the thing. I tried to pull a blanket from my bed, and Linus was asleep on it, and now I feel like a monster.
You are a monster. I'm going to call the ASPCA.
Just report me on a cat blog, and those fuckers will dox me.
I am almost into the third Castle book. I need to be institutionalized.
Yes, I'm glad you realized that.
So,
if it's a voluntary hold, it'll be easier to get you out later.
Yeah, I'll sign the paperwork. Okay, so this serial killer is going to go on a date with Anne, which I guess is just, like, hanging around the house.
That's my ideal date, actually.
Yeah. Well, like, Anne is, like, talking to Amy, tells Amy that she loves her, and then he's like, you love me? It's the first date. And she's like, I was talking to my daughter, and he's like, I don't want to talk during this date. And it's like,
sounds, I hate this man.
Sounds like a fucking weird-ass date, then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they're going to 69?
That's really inappropriate. I wish you wouldn't talk like that on this podcast.
Play the sound.
Oh my god. Let me find it. I keep closing it because I think I'm done with it.
Wow, so I guess you're not as committed to the bit as we thought.
Holy shit. See, the thing I don't think you appreciate about this sound is that after it's done, it just keeps playing, and there's nothing. So
Anne and Amy hang up. Amy calls for George, and George is like, who is this? And she's like, Kathleen. And he's like, Kathleen Smith, Jurgens Bowman Segay.
Got her ass. This is so stupid.
So then Tom and Grace are in Grace's room, and she's like, are you wearing cologne? And he's like, yeah. And she's like, do you know if Adrian has any friends? And Tom's like, I don't know. And Grace is like, what about Tammy? Can we invite Tammy? And he's like, no. And Grace is like, this is really hard. Like, I don't know what to do. And he's like, poor Grace, you have it really tough. And Tom says it's not nice to say that Adrian has no friends. And then Tom calls Grace a slut.
Yep.
And then Grace follows Tom out and, like, chases him out of the house. Kathleen is, like, chuckling with George on the phone. And Grace is, like, concerned. And Kathleen's like,
what they're chuckling about is Kathleen saying, oh, that was the funniest thing you ever did, putting those bunk beds in our room.
What? And
I need a prequel show about George and Kathleen's marriage. I am so curious.
I would love that. So, Kathleen and George are like, guess we have to hang up and, like, go talk to our kids. Whatever. So they hang up, and and Grace is like, that didn't sound like Jeff, slut. And Kathleen is like, okay, let's work this problem out with Adrian and Amy, like, so we can throw the shower. And Grace won't let it go. She's like, are you and George friends? Are you going to cheat on Jeff with George? You've done it before. And Kathleen is like,
Kathleen's like,
you're on restriction.
And Grace is like, does that mean I don't have to do this fucking shower?
Kathleen's hair looks very good. Her
it does.
Her bangs have like grown out
into like an acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She doesn't look like a turf anymore.
No. Wow, that gave me a lot to think about.
So we go to the Juergens house. Someone is at the door and Amy is like holding John and she's like, can't someone else get the door? And George goes, no, and ask who it is first. And she's like, thanks, Dad. Thanks. So like sleepy John is like resting on Amy's shoulder. She has her hands full. It's Ben. And he's like, can I come in and have a word with you? And she's like, I guess. Like, I was just cutting John's nails and he hates that. And I have to study for calculus and I hate that.
John is just like Linus, for real.
When I tell you, my heart grew 3 sizes for Amy when she said she had to study for calculus. I love a girl in a calculus class, let me tell you.
Yeah. Also, it makes me feel bad because I know calculus did famously ruin my life and set me down a really dark path led me to college. But that sucks that she has to deal with all this bullshit while also trying to do well on that test.
Right? Like, I love calculus. Calc 3, the only C I ever got in a class.
I don't want to hear about that.
Thanks, Dr. You know what else?
Was Dr. kind of a zaddy?
No, he did sign that, like, Nashville statement against, like, homosexuality, so he kind of sucks.
Ooh, that's even hotter to me in some ways.
All right, I think you need to go back to therapy. So, Amy gives John to George. So she, like, puts John on the ground, and John, like, runs to George, and George, like, picks him up and whatever. There's something wrong with me, because at that moment, George was attractive to me.
It was really cute, because he was like, I gotcha!
So cute. It's the only moment I've liked George. So then we go to this conversation with Ben and Amy. They talk about who made who cry, and Amy's like, I did not point out that she had no friends. I asked her for a list. And Ben is like, Amy, can I ask you a question? Are we friends? Can't you make up with Adrian and just, like, invite some girls to this shower as a favor to me? And he's like, I already have one girl you can invite. You can invite Alice. And Amy's like, she is like... Go ahead.
Oh. I was gonna say, I already tried that, you dumb bitch. You think I didn't think to invite Alice?
Yeah. And she's like, she has a cousin's bar mitzvah on Saturday. And Ben goes, she's Japanese. And Amy's like, I know. Japanese people can be Jewish, okay?
That's true.
Amy is like, you're marrying someone who is doing a lot of shit out of revenge, and that's, like, the truth about it. And Ben is hurt, and he's like...
But also, like, Amy doesn't... She's not even that harsh with it. She's just like, I just want you to remember, like, the reason that you two initially got together is because she was trying to get back at Ricky and trying to get back at me. Now you're together, you're happy, and she's still trying to, like, seek revenge on all these people she thinks wronged her.
Yeah.
And, like, just remember that. Like, I don't even think, like, that's hard to hear, but I do not think in any ways it was, like, from a place of cruelty or, like, even that mean.
Yeah.
And for what follows, I was like, actually, this is where I got, like, viscerally upset.
Yeah, and
like, angry.
I do want to thank transcripts.foreverdreaming.org for this. Because okay, this is good. Ben's
response.
Because
this does need to be preserved.
I would like to kill. Just putting that out there. Okay, so...
I got a hammer right here, if you're ready.
You're going to scratch your back with it?
I just did.
Oh, okay.
I actually didn't scratch. I didn't think that would be satisfying, so I actually turned the blunt side and kind of hammered out some of the...
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it was really...
So...
Therapeutic in some ways.
Ben responds to Amy pointing out that, like, maybe Adrian's intentions aren't the most pure. And he goes, and just what was your reason for getting pregnant? Were you taken advantage of? Did Ricky take advantage of you? Were you sexually stupid? Did you not know that having unprotected sex could result in pregnancy? You know, at least Adrian is willing to take responsibility for what happened. Yeah, even though it was an accident, Adrian is willing to take responsibility. And Adrian is honest, even brutally honest. So I believe her when she says that she wasn't out to get you today. And I believe her when she says that she was embarrassed because there was no list of girls to invite. And I believe her when she says that she loves me and wants to be with me for the rest of our lives. Do you believe Ricky when he tells you that he loves you? Because Ricky has told every girl that he has been with that he loves her. Do you really love Ricky? The real Ricky? The guy who slept with all those girls? The guy that every girl has been with? Or do you just want to justify getting pregnant by him in the first place? And, like, during this, like, little monologue, it shows George hearing this. And I got really upset because I was like, why isn't he coming in with John and, like, kicking Ben out? Because Ben is being straight up horrible to Amy right now. And then George does come in and he's like, get the fuck out of my house right now.
Yeah.
Get out of my house.
It was just so unnecessary, so just cruel and mean. And like, in what ways has Amy not taken responsibility for what happened? Like, she mothers John. She does everything she can to, like, keep Ricky involved in his life, even when she hated him. Like, she said several times, like, I know that I took a part in what happened, and, like, that's why I'm okay. Like, it's just ridiculous to... That claim is horrible, and, like, I don't know. What he said could have been even remotely salvageable. I still wouldn't have liked it if he didn't start, like, targeting her and Ricky. You know, if he would have just stopped after, like, and I believe Adrian when she says she loves me. Like, that's where he should have stopped. Because then it's like, okay, I get you're frustrated. And you're, like, semi-justifiably frustrated. Because even if she's making points, like, that's hurtful to hear.
Yeah.
But, like, to escalate it that far and to be that, like, truly just shitty and cruel and mean... Like, I was, like, I felt actual anger at this show and, like, at Ben. And I was, like, ready to defend Amy, which sucks that I felt anything about this show at any point.
Yeah. So, Amy turns to George and she's, like, do you still want me to throw a shower for Adrian? So, then we go to Ben's house. George and Leo are having a conversation. George is wearing a very nice cardigan that I would wear during this, let me just say.
I didn't even see that. I was still so blinded by rage.
And George is basically like, my child has gone through a lot. And Leo's like, my child has also gone through a light. And Leo's like, or gone through a lot. And Leo's like, I'll talk to Ben. And George is like, I cannot understand how this could possibly be Amy's fault.
Like, yeah, because Leo like implies that Amy is the reason for everything, basically.
Yeah. And George is like,
I don't remember what he says.
I can't get it through my thick skull. How it could possibly be Amy's fault. And I'm like, me neither, George. Me neither.
Yeah.
And George is like, there's literally no excuse for your son to come to my house and speak to my daughter that way. He needs to apologize. Like, you apologizing to me is not good enough. He needs to apologize to Amy. And Leo's like...
So true. I love to see George advocating for his daughter.
Yeah. And Leo is like, listen. Ben falling in love with Amy in the first place was the beginning of the end. Like, I'm not saying it's Amy's fault, but I'm just saying the forces behind that argument today were set in motion by Amy a long time ago.
How? And
George is like, I don't know about any of that bullshit, but your son said some horrible things to Amy today. And Leo's like, yeah, but from Ben's perspective, it's true.
So?
So then Ben comes in and he's like, what conspiracy is like... What conspiracy are you two cooking up against me and Adrian? And this is like when I'm like, Ben, how paranoid are you? Like, is this like a Beautiful Mind situation? Do we need to take you somewhere? Like, not even joking. It would explain
some shit. It's scary. The way Ben and Adrian act throughout this entire episode is actually so concerning.
Yeah.
Like, this is a supervillain arc.
Yeah. And I said, I wish George a very kill Ben.
Yeah, I would have loved to see George beat that kid's ass.
Eat that kid's ass?
That's a minor. That's actually really fucked up for you to say.
I genuinely thought that's what you said.
I said beat.
Thank you. Maybe try enunciating a little bit more. I'm not saying this is your fault, but...
you are. Like, I guess just, like, the circumstances of this argument were set in motion years ago now.
Yeah,
when you,
like,
texted me and asked if you wanted to, if I
wanted actually,
to do
I would
a
say even
with you.
Further, when your parents didn't, I don't know, put you in speech therapy, then maybe you could
know
speak.
I'm sensitive about that. You fucking know I'm sensitive about that. My brother went to speech and he always talked about how much fun it was. And you know what? They never let me go to speech because I talk too well. And you know I'm sensitive about that. What the fuck? Why would you bring that up now? That's a true story. I wanted to be in speech so bad. When we would play school with our Fisher-Price little people in the barn, the hayloft was always speech class and I never got to experience it. In real life. It's just really hard for you to bring those memories back up when you know I'm sensitive about them.
I'm sorry, Jesse.
This just doesn't seem very mutually beneficial today.
Why would it need
I
to be?
I feel like I'm doing all the work on this 69 here. And I'm getting none of the pleasure. Okay. Anyway. Sorry, I lost my head there for a second.
Yeah, that's okay. Sorry I stopped giving head there for a second.
Yeah. God damn it. This is an in-person episode, and the only time we stop is to speak into the microphone.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I think your dad would really like this podcast.
Listen, if any of you depraved listeners are listening to this at work, send me your boss's information as soon as possible. Okay. So... George leaves, right? So now it's Leo and Ben. And Leo's like...
And Leo immediately says my favorite line ever. Don't you ever put me in a position to defend you again.
Yeah. He's like, because in doing so, I said some shit that I regret already. You do not go over to someone's house like that. Like, you escalated everything. I don't know how to stop it at this point, but it needs to be stopped. So then, like, Alice and Henry come in, and Ben's like, looks at Leo, and he's like, you can go. I dismiss you.
Which Leo should not have left.
No. Leo should have been like, Alice and Henry, like, get the fuck out of my house.
Yeah.
And they're like, the king doth look PO'd. And they're like, so does the prince. And then...
Yeah, they're like giggling and having a good time.
And Ben is just like literally scary. He's like, if you don't want to be friends with Adrian, you don't want to be friends with me. And then he says... Okay, so... Alice goes, I want to be friends with Adrian. I just don't want to go to a shower. Like, you two are my only friends, and I don't want to sit around with Amy and Adrian and Grace and play shower games. And Ben goes,
I think that's valid.
And Ben goes, and why would you? I mean, you've only been coming over to my house for what, almost 10 years now? Eating our food and being driven by our chauffeur, sleeping in my room and playing in our game room, watching movies in our screening room, and going to sports events and concerts and restaurants all at my family's expense. Why would you want to do me the very small favor of getting a little gift for my soon-to-be wife's shower, my soon-to-be wife and mother of my daughter's shower? And Henry goes, that's a bit harsh, isn't it? And Alice starts...
So harsh!
Alice starts crying. This actress did not come to play. She killed it.
No. My heart broke for Alice in this moment because that sucks.
Yeah. And Alice is like, I'm sorry. It's not that I don't love you. I love you, Ben. It's just I don't want to be a part of all this. Like, I don't really think you should be getting married. And Henry's like, ooh. And Ben's like, and what do you think, Henry? And Henry goes, I think that neither of you can take back what you just said to each other. And so I'll just say I love you both. And I apologize to each of you for what the other said. And I wish you love, peace, and soul train. Just trying
and
to...
The joke bombs.
Yeah.
The joke bombs. That needs to be said.
And he's like, just trying to use humor to keep our friendship from falling into a black hole. And Alice goes, too late. And she walks away. And then Henry, like, gives this look to Ben. And he's like, what the fuck, man? And Ben, like, looks like he's about to start, like, beating Henry up.
It's so dark. Also, again, this is like a weird, like, pro-centrist message where Henry's the reasonable one for being like, oh, you both said things you didn't mean. Yeah. You know? Alice expressed genuine concern that you weren't ready to be married, and you called her basically a gold-digging little bitch who's been abusing and using your family for the past 10 years.
Yeah.
Without ever doing anything for you, apparently.
Yeah. Also, I thought, like, the whole point of... Didn't Ben, like, just move to town at the beginning of the pilot?
No. You've said that before. I think you're wrong. They were just starting high school.
Gotcha, gotcha. Okay.
Because they were in middle school. And that's why he was like, no one will know me here. Because apparently it's a big high school, which I'm still not convinced of.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
You've said that before, but I never wanted to openly contradict you.
Cool, cool, cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I got your back.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And your front.
So, then we go to Anne. I don't give a shit. It's Anne in this... How to describe this person? This, he looks like an undercover cop.
He looks like your friend's dad who, like, keeps making racially motivated jokes even after you've asked him to stop.
Right.
And said it makes you uncomfortable.
Yeah, who uses, like, the R word in conversation. Yeah.
Yeah.
And they talk about why they broke up. And it was, like, over a girl who made him a ham sandwich and a bag of chips. And he's like, I never did anything with that girl. Molly Ringwald's eyes are, like, fucking huge. She doesn't blink when she's acting, let me tell you.
I think that's a good stylistic choice.
Yeah. They talk about how high school stinks. Okay, whatever.
And
literally,
like, high school's
pointless.
Over, and she's like, high school's never over. I guess they're trying to illustrate how Adrian and Amy's tiff could... affect the rest of them for their entire lives, I guess. I don't really know.
Maybe. So then we go to George and Kathleen. They're hanging out in Kathleen's kitchen. They're talking about why they broke up. And Kathleen's like, well, you wouldn't go to marriage counseling after I cheated on you. And he's like, well, I don't think marriage can be saved by counseling. And now I have the experience to prove it. And I was like, what, when you spent 15 minutes with Dr. Ken Fields?
Yeah, I was going to say, you never gave marriage counseling a good faith try, and now you're going to say forever that it didn't work.
Yeah. And Kathleen kind of talks, and she's like, I think we got married too young. Like, I just wanted someone to love me. And George is like, well, I loved you. And she's like, I was always picking up your dirty socks. Like, I asked you to pick them up, and you were always, like, leaving them on the ground. And he's like, well, like, I don't know, I like to step out of them that way. And it's like, yeah, you can fucking step out of them that way, but fucking pick them up after you step out of them and put them in the laundry, George.
Yeah. This whole scene was really, like, evangelical marriage 101. Like, I've seen this story in real life so many times. People who got married too young because, as Kathleen says, she wanted to have sex and she wanted someone to love her and she didn't want to be alone.
Yeah.
And then things weren't what she imagined because, you know, she'd always had it ingrained in her head by her mother that the wife was to serve the husband. And then when she realized she was basically just a glorified servant, it pushed her.
Yeah, it seems, like, really funny how, like, on the podcast you're kind of, like, denouncing that. But last week in marriage counseling, you did tell our therapist that it was my job to serve you, so...
Well, yeah, but that's not because of marriage. That's because I think I'm a better person than you are intrinsically. I'm kind of the next stage of human evolution. And I've said this before.
Is it because you got the microchip?
Yeah, ever since I got vaxxed up, I'm glow in the dark and hanging off of the ceiling.
So really, this is like a... It's a conflict because I refuse to get the vaccine, so I'm, like, less than
you. I can
elongate
my arms to ridiculous lengths. If I wanted to, I could give my right arm a high five with my left by circling the globe. But I don't want to. Because that would take a lot of energy and coordination. So just keep that in mind.
How many people would you slap as your arm, like, just went around the globe?
So many. And that's why I'm not doing it. Because every time I run into something hard, I don't know what the thing is. And whether it's considered an invasion of privacy. Imagine if I crossed a major railroad track.
That's true.
I'd have to be on a skyscraper. And even then, those fucking birds aren't going to make way for me.
You have are planes?
You yeah, there are so many planes.
Yeah. Cool, so... Kathleen is basically like, listen, I threw away every sock you left on the floor, but then when you were down to your last pair of socks, I did go buy you new socks, and I did, you know, let the sock salesman slip his socks off, if you know what I mean.
I like to keep them on, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
Jail for you.
This is a real, like, ew, she fucking the weed man for week. Some bitch who's fucking the sock man for socks.
Yeah.
Think about that one.
Uh-huh.
But apparently it was the owner of the sock company who yeah. just happened to be in the store. Which, right. like, that was a lie, right? Like, he was just talking mad game. Like, I don't think he actually owned the sock company.
It was
you
like
don't
a...
think you see fucking Marcus Haynes wandering around a Target.
It was fucking, he was wearing, like, a Foot Locker uniform, and he's like, oh, yeah, yeah actually, I,
Actually, I'm on this show that's going to be huge in a couple years called Undercover Boss.
I actually, you know, Bombas, those are my socks. So, yeah, Kathleen talks about how she was indoctrinated, and then she's like, it's like you were saying before, it's funny how a little argument can destroy the whole universe, and he's like, it was just socks. And then Jack, like, sneaks in during this, and they literally don't pay him any attention.
My headcanon is that he didn't realize that we're filming a scene, and he walked through and was like, oh, shit!
That's it, almost exactly what it looks
That's what it feels like, because they do not acknowledge him, and there's no reason for him to sneak through that shot.
Yeah, that's so funny. So Jack is pleading Tom's case to Grace upstairs in her room, and she's like, sorry, I'm, like, trying to text Grant right now. And he's like, forget about Grant for 2 seconds. And she's like, honestly, no, my day started off badly, and it's only gotten worse, like it has sucked. And he's like, maybe it's your fault. And she's like, oh, I'm supposed to blame this all on me? And he's like, maybe if you'd come up with a list of, like, people to invite to the shower. Like,
how are any neutral parties taking that side?
Yeah. And then he's like, you know what, I think you don't want to throw this shower. And she's like, okay. And he's like, you say you're friends with Adrian, but I don't think you are. Because you know what? You've never gotten over the fact that we fucked when you and I were together.
It's like, yeah, that's a hard bridge to overcome, first of all. Yeah. It was only like a year ago.
And she's like, oh, well, Jack, riddle me this. Was it oral sex or was it sex? And then Grant knocks on the door, and he's like, your mom said I could talk to you for 2 minutes, but 2 minutes would be too long.
What is he angry about?
I'm
so confused why he's pissed.
And then he, like, walks away, and Grace tells Jack she really hates him.
Valid.
And then Amy and Ashley are in Amy's room. Ashley is pissed about not being invited to the shower. And Amy's like...
It's like, no one's invited to the shower. You didn't get to the point... Like, Amy dipped before she handed out invitations. There's no reason for you to be angry about
also,
this.
Ashley, you don't fucking go to this school anymore.
Or does she? It's hard to tell.
It is. And they're like, and Ashley's like, they came up with a list for your shower. And she's like, oh, did they? Is that why the neighbors were there? And then Ashley
that
calls.
That was actually funny.
Yeah. And then Ashley calls Amy a real ass. And Amy is like, listen, Ben came over earlier and he was a real bitch to me. So can you just, like, not be a bitch to me? And she goes,
and
oh,
like,
are you still feeling bad from seeing Ricky's lovers? And Amy's like, his old lovers. And she goes, yeah, you'd hope they're his old lovers.
Why are you like this?
Yeah. And Amy is like, listen, Ben was literally so mean to me. And Ashley's like, you say you don't care about Ben. Then why do you care what he said to you?
Because what he said was impossibly cruel.
Take that, liberals.
Ugh, I hate Ashley so much.
I do too. I would kill.
Honestly, the whole season should end with Amy going on a spree. That's all I'll say.
What I want to see is a realistic sister fight where, like, one of them hits the other one so hard and then has to be like, oh my god,
I'll give you my allowance for 2 weeks. Like, just don't tell mom. Just don't tell mom.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what I want to see.
That should be happening.
So then, Amy says something about how, like, Ricky sleeps with everyone except for Ashley because he didn't sleep with Ashley and she wanted him to. And she goes, you know what? I called Adrian a second ago and she was on the other line with Ricky. And Amy's like, okay, great. So you're telling on Ricky. Thanks. Like, that's great. And she's like, yeah, I'm doing it because for the last year, like, you haven't thought it was probable that he would want to kiss me. And it's hurt my feelings that you don't think he could be attracted to me. And she's like, Amy's like, you bitch. Like, how do you not see that that kiss was a complete and utter betrayal? Like, you sought out to destroy my relationship with Ricky. And Ashley's like, well, you destroyed this family when you decided to have a little fun at band camp.
Amy's a better person than I, because I don't think I would be able to hold on this long with everyone just spouting absolute nonsense at me and trying to make me feel like everything's my fault when it's so clearly not. Like, every person who's talked shit to her this episode is in the wrong, clearly.
Yeah.
And for her not to go completely fucking postal is... that's more restraint than I have.
Yeah. So then we go to Adrian and Ricky on the phone. This is the last scene. They talk about how they understand each other. And Ricky's like, listen, between us, did you really not know what you were doing to Amy today? Like, did you know that that would be hurtful? And Adrian's like, it's not like I planned it. Like, it just happened. She's like, I wasn't trying to hurt anybody. I just want a party. I just know that girls don't like me. And Ricky's like, maybe girls would like you if you were, I don't know.
Not a bitch.
Nice to them? And she's like, I've never gotten the chance to be nice to them. It's like, don't be mean to them.
Amy's given you so many chances to be nice to her, first of all.
Yeah.
And that's just one person.
Ricky's like, listen, you got to get over your insecurities. Like, I know this makes you feel like you're in elementary school when people are mean to you, but, like, you got to get over your insecurities. Marrying Ben just might make you feel more insecure. And then Ricky's like, can you go over and try to smooth things over with Amy? And she's like, I think she's still reeling from, like, her last company. And Ricky's like, did Ben go over there? And Adrian's like, who knows? I wish you'd talk to me at school.
And then fade to black.
Right. And that's not actually the end of the episode. That's just when Jesse and I simultaneously passed out from having to process everything that happened.
Yeah, and from the exertion of going to town on each other for the entire 50-minute runtime.
Oh my god.
I'm sorry. Oh my god.
I'm filing a complaint to HR again. They keep, like, dismissing my...
Yeah, because again, I am HR. And there's nothing you can do about it because, as HR, I condone any jokes made on the 69th episode.
That's it. That's episode 69, season 3, episode 22. Go ahead.
69th episode, bitches! That's all I have.
Great. That was Loose Lips. This has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. I physically cannot spend any more time on this.
And my lips are a lot looser after this hour, if you know what I'm saying. See, the ongoing joke is that we've been pleasuring each other with our mouths for this whole pod.
Jesse's so when I say my lips are now looser... listens to this podcast.
Oh, shit! I forgot about that! No! No! Okay, we have to start over. Roll it back. Roll it back. Hey, how's it going today? Do you know what's going on right now? Welcome to the 69th episode, fuckers. How's your week?
This is going to be a fun one to explain. Great. So, this has been Secret Life of Two Gay American Teenagers. My name's Aaron.
And my name's Jesse. Can we go back and scrub my name from all of this? I'm not proud of anything I've said over the past 69 episodes. I'd like to be removed from this narrative that I never asked to be a part of.
No, I thought that reveal was great. Do you like how I didn't tell you at the beginning of the episode? I just let you do whatever you were going to do, and then I told you at the end of the episode?
Well, I knew, and I forgot, is the thing.
So, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, Patreon, and Twitter at Your Two Gay Friends. You can follow Jesse on Twitter at GoJesse2K20. You can follow me on Instagram on my Bookstagram at No Money No Prospects. I just hit 10 books for the year. What's up? I'm 7 books behind schedule, so
loser.
That's not great. That was so mean.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean that.
You can send us an email at slwithjesseandaaron@gmail.com. You can leave us a voice message on Anchor. You can leave us a review on iTunes and Apple Podcasts. You can leave us a rating on Spotify. That's it.
I'm so sorry. That was an accident. This never happens to me. I'm so embarrassed.
We can just cuddle. It's fine.
Okay. Thank you. Thanks for being cool about this.
I hope everyone has a good day, and I hope that you are able to forget everything that was said in this episode.
Yeah, and I hope that... Goodbye.
Bye, everyone. Let's start listing friends from college and talk about if we think they've ever achieved orgasm.
Anyone?
Did I say friends
that
from
is...
college? I just meant people from college. I don't want to talk about our friends.
Okay, I am going to blanket statement answer this. Anyone who ended up in a cis hetero relationship that was the woman of that relationship, no. Unless they took matters into their own hands.
Mm. All right.
I think a lot of them lied about it.
What about what percentage of couples from our college do you think have six...
Have achieved simultaneous orgasm?
Have 69.
Most.
I'm gonna hard disagree with you on that one.
I don't think most of them were happy about it.
I know, I hard
disagree. I think curiosity killed that little cat, if you know what I'm saying. Do you get it?
Yeah, I do.
Cool.